For more than a decade, a group of Wisconsin researchers has been gathering health data through a program called SHO. That stands for Survey of the Health of Wisconsin. It begins with a face-to-face interview, and it gradually folds in a range of factors that can influence health, from social and economic to discrimination and neighborhood perceptions.
So far, more than 6,000 residents around the state have participated in what organizers say is the only statewide survey of its kind. Kristen Malecki co-directs SHO. She told Lake Effect Susan Bentz how she was drawn into the program and about its evolution.
I was studying environmental health policy and epidemiology in grad school, and I was working on a project called the National Environmental Health Tracking Program, which was trying to gather better data for linking human health and the environment. And then I was working, from there I went and was working as an epidemiologist at the state health department, realizing our data were A, very fragmented, and B, it was really hard to link individuals with environmental exposure data. And I knew about the National Health and Nutrition Exam Survey, which was starting a project to really look at measures of human exposure in blood and urine and other samples. And I was also really interested in health disparities. And so the University of Wisconsin was starting this SHO project, and I was asked to come over as a researcher, then a scientist, and then ultimately became faculty and co-director of the project.
So what was the first step, and what, you know, how did you communicate with participants at the beginning, and how has that evolved?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big question.
No. So when we first got launched, it was how do we build trust? How do we let people know that we're coming, and what are we doing? So we had a full-time outreach specialist who spent, for every small community we went out to recruit in, we contacted local churches, libraries, we posted materials all over, we created a SHO public service announcement. And so it was really getting our names out there as a legitimate entity. And then we just started knocking on doors.
So when you first started that, how many of you were knocking on doors?
So I think it's fluctuated over time, and it depends on how much funding we have. But there's between, at any given time, I think we started with 8 full-time field staff. Yeah.
So were you out in the field at that time? Were you out there banging doors?
I was never actually out banging doors, but I was back in the office really thinking about strategies to help improve our response rates, make it more efficient, make it more valuable for the participants themselves. So that first 6 months, we really learned a lot about how you collect data in the field this way.
So what are you collecting and how?
So we collect data that covers all of what we call the social determinants of health. So we think about health not only as interaction with the healthcare system, but about factors in your social environment, your biological environment, your social networks, your health, your family, and your health behaviors. And so we have data on over 3,000 variables that we ask individuals. So we do an hour and a half interview in the home that includes sort of a face-to-face interview. Some questions are asked over a computer so that to protect individuals' privacy. We leave questionnaires with individuals, and then we measure height and weight and blood pressure and lung function in participants' homes. And then we ask participants to come to an exam center where trained phlebotomists collect blood samples and urine samples from participants.
Talk about the kind of information that you've gathered and what you're learning through that.
What makes SHO unique is that we ask a lot of questions about health, but then we also collect urine and blood and serum and plasma. And so we can start to understand what's going on. And we've collected microbiome samples. So we can start to understand how these social factors and other factors outside of interaction with the healthcare influence our health and wellness. And I always think about it, how does the environment get under your skin? So we can start to see, as technology evolves, different biological markers of response. So we don't have to wait for the disease to happen. We can sort of look at things changing within our bodies before we get to the actual outcomes of health. And we can start to look at who's more vulnerable or susceptible to outcomes using those data, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So we've looked at, my own research is starting to look at epigenetic changes in the samples and how gene by environment, but also epigenetics and environment over time. So, and then we also have the microbiome data. And then with those biological samples, we can also look at environmental exposures and other health outcomes. So we've published over 47 papers on different health topics, ranging from food insecurity to predictors of cardiovascular health and obesity burden, and what does obesity do to the burden of chronic disease across the states. Early on, we had a grad student who looked at people's reporting of smoking exposure in the home before and after the statewide smoking ban, and we saw a dramatic, or not dramatic, but a significant decline in people's reporting of exposure to secondhand smoke after the ban went into place, so we can also evaluate programs and policies. So we've seen a range of different things with the data.
One thing that you talked about earlier today was about green space and trees. Mm-hmm.
So I have a close colleague and friend at the Medical College of Wisconsin, Kirsten Beyer, and she and I were talking about what would be interesting things we could do if we could put people in the places where they live and look at how that influences health. And that amongst children, especially children with more mental health distress and or some increasing learning, children who have learning disabilities or potential ADHD, there was a restoration theory hypothesis that green space can really improve mental health over time. And so we said, well, now we have this satellite imagery of green space and tree cover. Can we take the show data and link those two and see if people who live in areas with more tree cover have lower stress, anxiety, and depression? And we saw that there was, while we can't prove anything, we did see that people living in those communities had lower levels of stress, anxiety, and depression.
Will show be, I assume it's not the primary method for you to advance your study, but it's a tool in it.
Sure. So I'm really interested in, as an environmental epidemiologist, about understanding the biological pathways by which environment, social stress, and other factors increase one's susceptibility to a toxic response. So I'm really interested in the intersection between social factors, environmental exposure, and the biological pathways that make individuals who are living in higher stress communities and environments more susceptible to environmental exposures. And can we see those signatures in both changes to DNA methylation, which is a mark on top of the DNA that is associated with gene expression. I'm also interested in how different genes are expressed, and can we see different pathways of genes being expressed in relation to environmental exposures, and how might different things like obesity or stress interact with that? And then some of my work increasingly is also going back and validating that in lab and in vitro assays. So we can take the population data, go back to a lab, and test more of the causal pathways, because much of what we can do and show is observational, which means we can see associations exist, but we can't ever say that this is one thing actually causes the other. We mm-hmm. see patterns, mm-hmm. but we can't ever prove the causation. So a lot of what I try to do is translational research and then go back and look at can we get closer to causation in a lab setting as well. So kind of going back and forth between lab and human data.
Is it correct then that CHO then is the foundation? I mean, that's sort of the starting point, or is that
CHO often is the starting point. There are many, many other mm-hmm. cohorts out there that I could look at the relationships that I have, but there's only so many hours in the day, and I have so much access to the CHO data. That's usually where I start, there or this national survey I called the National Health and Nutrition Exam Survey. But increasingly across the country, there are amazing cohorts of following people across the life course that are starting to collect this biological data really early in life. Right. And so you could look at that on a national scale. And then I think also that one of the interesting things about CHO, which is both a strength and a weakness, is it's really contextual to the state of Wisconsin. So we can say a lot about the state of Wisconsin and then compare it nationally or sort of globally. But I think there's a lot to be said for what we have here too.
So you mentioned earlier that you share data, or what the data is being used mm-hmm. for, with your participants. What are some of the things that you share with them? And do you, I suppose you don't necessarily get feedback from them on what you're sharing.
So immediately after someone participates in CHO, we will send them data about their blood pressure, their if they have elevated health indicators. We say it's not a clinical exam, but we have some immediate feedback. And again, we've heard back from participants who said, I didn't know I was anemic, and then I got the report back from you, and I went to my doctor, and now I feel so much better because I was able to interact with you in this setting. So I think participants like that immediate feedback, because oftentimes, even though we all know we should go to a preventive, especially amongst healthy adults, you don't always take the time to go to the doctor. So I think they really appreciate that. And then we send newsletters, and we don't often get feedback from mm-hmm. the letters. But I think as we start to begin follow-up more in earnest over the next few years, those are questions we'll need to start asking of the participants.
You're recruiting. You want to enlarge your participants here in the Milwaukee area. Are you looking to expand in other places, or is Milwaukee the missing link?
So we're hoping to get as diverse of a sample as possible to really understand health and equity and well-being in the state. So for right now, over the next couple years, we'll be focusing largely on Milwaukee and people of color who live in the city of Milwaukee. But we also really understand that there are health disparities across the entire state of Wisconsin. So rural communities are another area of focus for us, because the general population sample has data on over 6,000 for the whole state. And then we know there are pockets that are more or less at risk. There are other faculty at UW-Madison who have done focus populations in other groups. So Kevin Tao, who's a family doctor, has translated the show questionnaires and has been working in the Hmong population for the last several years. So not the core show program, but others are also using the model for more focused research.
So where do you hope show takes you and the participants in the future?
I think for me, from a health equity, health disparities, environment, and health research perspective, I would like to gain more insights to be able to say it's these experiences that accumulate over time that really make us more vulnerable to infectious and chronic diseases. So I would like to be able to use some of the novel biomarker data to make some actual discoveries in that way. But in terms of the program itself, we gather a lot of data on health and wellness, and it would be really wonderful moving forward to both continue to describe the health, but also look at trends over time to see, have we made a difference in the communities, and can we help inform people about health and wellness in a way that makes a difference in their lives.
So you grew up in Milwaukee. What pulled you into your field?
So I grew up...
Or through you.
Right. No, I grew up... I talk about this a lot. I grew up in Shorewood, which is the first suburb north of the city of Milwaukee, at a time when we had the 220 busing program. So I was friends with kids from all over the city. And I had very progressive parents who were really interested in going to church in the middle of the city. So unlike a lot of my friends growing up in Shorewood, I spent a lot of time all over the city of Milwaukee. And in doing so, I drove through tons of neighborhoods. And it was very, very clear to me that there were huge, stark disparities in the communities and neighborhoods in which we lived. And yet we were all people living on this planet in the same city. And it didn't make much sense to me. And I think that is what, and I just wanted to have a career that somehow made a difference to solve some of those complex problems. I don't know that I've done it because it's hard to do, but I think we need to look at long-term impacts of these disparities on our population and our communities, and what does that really mean for us as a society if we continue to have such disparate backgrounds? And through research, can we identify potential solutions? So more and more, I think we've spent so much time focusing on the negative, and I'd also like to look at, can we look at the assets and the positives? So amongst people who face, on the surface, face a number of challenges, many of them end up highly successful, really healthy, and really well, and yet that never gets studied. And so I'm hoping that show data can really be used also in that aspect to really say, look, resources and assets, maybe not monetary, but other things can really improve your health and wellness, and we need to really support those.
Shorewood native Kristen Malecki is an assistant professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at UW-Madison, and she co-directs the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin. Lake Effect Susan Bentz recently spoke with Malecki after she presented a research seminar at UWM's Zilber School of Public Health.